and I read, they all flow together as one word. It'd be like a whole paragraph, but it's one word. So it's, you think it's easy to read. But with somebody like me, it's very hard. I have to concentrate and separate everything because there's no spaces in my reading. It's just hard. Amen. So Galatians, so bear with me, please. If I pronunciate something wrong, what's happening is I'm putting two words together. And I'm trying to figure out what that word means, and there is no such a word. It's compounded, and there's no word for it. So the joke is on me. So for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Amen. That's true, isn't it? But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And also drawing your attention to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11 through 12. And I know you know where Genesis is. And you're just finding Galatians. So, no, just teasing. And no, Genesis chapter 1 is a very hard page to find because it gets all tangled up with all the pages in front of it. Amen? Isn't that true? And they're all stuck together, it seems like. Why do they put all those pages in front of Genesis chapter 1? I'd have just turned the cover and there's Genesis. Why do they have to have all that other stuff? And it just gets all tangled up. Amen. So now that you're there, Genesis 1 and verse 11. And God said, everybody said, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed. And everybody said seed. And the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind whose. You're not following along here. You're just waiting on me to say, okay, let's start all over again. I need some group participation here. Amen. Work with me this evening. Amen. I know you had a long day and you're tired, but let's just walk through this calisthenics here. And so let's start from the beginning. No, just teasing. And so yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. That means that there's no other variance. That nothing can change that. It's in law. It's established. No demon in hell can change the law of this. And so it was so. In verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose was in itself after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in Jesus' name. And everything that God ever created, except for man, began with a seed. And so as we read in Genesis chapter 1, that means before there was fruit, before there was a harvest, before there was a blessing, there was a seed. And just like the natural, it is also in the spiritual. You may not have your full miracle yet. You may not have the fulfillment of the prophecy yet. Or you have not seen your promise yet that God has whispered into your spirit. But the seed is there. Praise God. Amen. And so you may look at your situation and say that this seed, this promise, this miracle, what was placed inside of me is too small, too late, and too far gone. And so you lost hope. It seems like there's too much distance between the promises of God and today. It seems like it's drifting away. It seems like something got a hold of it and stole it from you. But I'm here to tell you the seed still remains. Praise God, because it's God said. Amen. And so, but I come to tell you that never underestimate what God can do with the seed of hope. And I want to talk to you today about the power of the seed of hope. Amen. And hope is something that is very sought after in our world. In fact, I think every boy and girl, especially during this time of the season, you receive, well, I don't know if they do it anymore, but we used to receive catalogs in the mail, Sears and Roebuck Wards, Montgomery Wards and Pennies. And we couldn't hardly wait until those big, thick books came with all the toys and all the fun things that would be like 600 pages of toys, and we would, it's just like toy wonder. And these, and that's when we looked at these, you're looking at me like you've never seen a Sears and Roebuck catalog. It's been there, it's not here anymore. So, and we would thumb through the pages, and it would be hours. We would look and we would dream and hope that's going to show up. And we would fight over the page sometimes, and sometimes pages would be torn and stuff. And I think Brother Corey, you can understand that, you can relate, and you hope. And I think everybody has a seed of hope. Everybody hopes for something. Young ladies growing up in the Cinderella world, and they're hoping for Prince Charming is going to come and they sweep them away, and they hope that they had this beautiful wedding and everything. And we, you know, but the thing is, sometimes during our life, hope somehow gets all messed up because of circumstances in our lives, because of events and tragic stories. Every one of us has a tragic story to tell, and hope was broken. But I come to remind somebody, where did that hope come from? I believe that every human being, God planted a seed of hope to grow. But somehow the world distorted that through the sin of the world, the temptation that's come to Adam and Eve, and sin had destroyed that. But God did not leave, and that seed of hope was not destroyed. But because of the disobedience of humanity, it seems to drift away, and we seem that we cannot get it back because of the mistakes. Oh, help me, somebody here today. Because of tragic events, because of certain circumstances and some failures in our lives, that hope has just drifted away. So therefore, the seed of hope is gone. So why hope for anything? And so that's why our drug world, our illegal drugs, is multi-million dollar industry. This is why young people, that all the advertisements that you see is always geared to 13, 14-year-old kids, young ladies, young men. Why? Because they dream of these things that they could have and obtain, and there's these promises that you can have, and you can be like this, but when it doesn't get fulfilled, when mom and dad's bank account runs out, all hope is shattered. That's why suicide is so prevalent today. That's why we have institutions. This is why we have therapy and therapeutic clinics, is because we've lost hope. My world has lost hope. But let me remind you in Genesis again, if we would go to the next. Well, I'm just going ahead of myself. I better just not go there right now. I'm too far ahead here. But everything God created begins with a seed. So the first point I want to bring your attention to is that the seed of hope looks really small, but it carries a lot of power. And so we talk about the parable of the mustard seed, and Jesus has reminded us and tried to implant into us and remind us how powerful the seed is. And if even if it's small, hold on to it. Because in Mark chapter 4 and verse 30 says, and he said, Jesus is speaking, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with the comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed. Everybody say seed, which went, when it was sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds or that be in the earth. But when it is sown, everybody say sown. So when the seed is sown, when it's sown, and I'm here to tell you, God had sowed some seeds, and he has planted things into our lives, all of us. And when it is sown, and this is what Jesus was trying to teach us here today, he says, it may seem insignificant. It may seem small. It may not seem large. And you look at somebody else's promises or somebody else, what God is doing, and you look at yourself and say, it's so small, or I'm not worthy in it, and et cetera, et cetera. But I'm here, Jesus, I'm here to proclaim to you today in this parable, although it seems small, when it is sown, it groweth up and it gets larger. Amen. And it becomes greater than all the herbs. And it shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow. Amen. So it may look small, but it carries a lot of power. Amen. The kingdom of God, amen, is so powerful and so mighty that we can hardly comprehend it and understand it. But it all started out with a small. Never underestimate what God can do with the seed of hope. Amen. Every small prayer, every small act of faith carries a divine potential. Don't underestimate, amen, the little prayers that you pray and your children that pray. Don't ever underestimate, amen, the time that you come to church. Amen. When you don't feel like it and you lift up your hands. Amen. And you're tired. Amen. And you can hardly muster a song. Don't underestimate, because what you're doing is you're feeding, amen, the seed, amen, and it begins to grow, amen, and when it begins to grow, it becomes great. Put your hands together and thank him for that. The seed may look small, amen, but it carries a lot of power. Your worship does not seem significant amongst thousands, but it carries a lot of power. Your prayer may not be as eloquent as those around you, but I'm here to proclaim to you that little prayer, amen, is powerful. Your little daughter, your little son may not understand the power of prayer, but when they said, touch my daddy and touch my mama, God listens, amen, and the seed of hope begins to grow. I'm here to proclaim to you, amen, the power it is in the seed. Don't despise, amen, the seed. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 13, again the Lord said unto the woman, that which has sinned, that has given herself to the powers and an influence of Satan, where man had fallen. And it appears to be that there was nothing but tragedy after it all, that there was no hope left, oh, hallelujah, in the world, that they may as well just give it up, amen. But God said, no, 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 I'm going to plant a seed of hope. And what he said, amen, to the woman, what he asked her a question, what has thou done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast in the field, and upon that belly thou shalt go, and the dust shall thou eat all the days of their life. But listen to this part. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And what God had done is implanted her the hope for a dying world. Amen. What God has put a seed into that woman for the hope of the Messiah. And that's why I said for 3,000, 4,000 years, that seed began to grow, even through the wars and turmoils. Amen. And those that rejected God, Israel walked away from God. And God had judged Israel. Amen. And destroyed some of Israel. But I'm here to tell you, he did not destroy the seed. That you cannot disappoint God enough, amen, to destroy the hope that he has in your life. Because the seed still will remain. Because I put the seed in the woman. And when I put the seed in the woman, the Messiah is going to come. The Bible says from the foundations of the world, the Messiah, the Lamb, was to be slain. And mankind was waiting for that hope, even through their failures. I could attest to you, amen, some of the battles that I fought. And I said, oh, Lord, when are you coming back? When are you going to deliver me out of this battle? When are you going to come and set me free, amen, from this distress? Amen. It seemed like hope was leaving me, but there was something that was deeper than my distress, Brother Corey, and that was a seed that God has planted in me. That was a promise of a Messiah, amen, that he will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm here to tell you the mighty power of the seed of the promise and the hope of God. You in this room has lost hope, thinking that God has forsaken you and God's left you because of your circumstances. You have not seen the miracle. You have not seen the answer. But I'm here to tell you the seed still remains. Amen. You just got to let it grow. Oh, hallelujah. And how do you let it grow? You let it grow with faith. So that was the second point I want to bring to you today. Amen, is faith. The seed of hope was planted. Amen, and you cannot kill that seed of hope. I don't care, amen, what you have done or how many mistakes that you have made. I'm here to tell you the seed is still going to remain. Amen. I am a product of that. I had not understood who God was. I didn't know him, but it didn't matter to God. Amen. When I cried out to him, amen, that seed touched me of hope, of salvation. And when I cried out to him and asked God to help me, amen, he delivered me from drugs, from alcohol, from distress, from a hopeless situation. Amen. To help coming on its way. Amen. And a power of deliverance. Why? Because there was a seed, amen, of hope that's been planted in every human body and every human soul. Isaiah tells us this in Isaiah 53 and 1. He says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Verse 2 says this, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. Who would have thought, amen, when the ground was dry, amen, when things are not going well, amen, and but out of the dry ground. Oh, somebody help me here today. Israel saying, Lord, when are you coming? When are you going to deliver us? Rome has encamped around about us and been enslaving us, amen, and there's a dry ground, amen, and there's no hope. But oh, there was a few prophets that still believed, amen, the Messiah is about to come, amen, and out of dryness, out of hopelessness, amen, came the Messiah. It says, who hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So the second thing that we need to understand, that hope requires faith and patience. Faith and patience are the soil
that nature and nurtures your seed. Just like the farmer waits for it to grow, we must trust in God of the unseen work. Your miracle might be buried, but it's not dead. It's just developing. So the reason why I'm teaching this today is something that came to my attention about 3 years ago. And if you could bring up the first picture. About 3 years ago, we've been in this community for about 17 years. And in that first year, they had planted these small trees. And there was they planted just a lot of elm trees in our neighborhood. And about 3 years ago, I got a notice in the mail from the city saying that there's a elm borer, a disease that's killing all of the elm trees, and either we're going to have to treat your tree that's in your yard, or we're going to have to cut it, or you're going to have to cut it at your own expense. And so that was 3 years ago. And that was kind of troubling. I was watching the tree to make, you know, to checking to see if it was going to die, and it was quite large. But not unmanageable, but it's a pretty large tree. And about a year after that was 2 years ago, along this tree, right next to the trunk of the tree, grew this sapling, and I have no idea what it was. So I was assuming, Brother Corey, it just came out of the root system of this elm, and I thought, well, there's another little elm that's growing. So I took my shears, and I sheared it about halfway down, and figured I'd take care of it. But to my surprise, the next year, all of a sudden, there was leaves on that. I tried to kill it, tried to cut it, and there was leaves on that little sapling. And I go, well, this is strange. And so I begin to look at the leaves, and the leaves are not the same leaves that was on that elm tree. As I begin to study and those leaves got larger, I begin to recognize that this tree is not an elm tree, but it's a maple tree. And I scratched my head and I thought, how did a maple tree grow up out of the root system of an elm tree? And so logic told me that it can never do that. It can't. Because there's a seed bearing after it yielding after its own kind, so it couldn't do that. So I'm thinking that somebody must have planted a tree when I was sleeping. But I knew that didn't happen, so I just like scratched my head. I said, well, I'm just going to let this thing grow. And so I just let it grow, and I decided to take this. This year, or last fall, and I decided that I have one or two choices: either cut the diseased elm tree and let this maple tree grow. I can't let them grow together. Well, it only makes sense is to cut away the diseased tree. Well, so that's what I did. And then when I cut that tree, this maple tree began to excel. And the Lord began to speak to me. He says, once you get the disease out of the system, the seed will excel. And so that's the stump of the elm tree. And it's no longer. And in 3 months, as we see this picture, this maple tree began to thrive and it doubled in size. Why? It's because the disease that was next to it, I cut it down. And so for us to allow the seed of hope and promise and the miracles of God and the prophetic word of God to grow and to bring forth, we must cut down the things that is diseased, that's trying to prevent and stop, amen, it from growing. So the next thing that I want to draw your attention to is something that's so powerful that God has given us. It's called the Holy Ghost. The Bible talks about that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit, saith the Lord. And he begins to prophesy to Israel. And now we go into the prophecy of Israel in Zechariah chapter 9. Now, Israel was completely backslid. That sin in their life. They begin to worship the things that is contrary to God. They begin to give their lives to things that is not proper and appropriate. They begin to turn their back. They had this disease, sin in their lives. But their prophets begin to speak to them in Zechariah chapter 9. And the prophet says this. He says, rejoice gladly. Greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh. And what the prophet was saying, he says, you get your life right, you cut off the disease, and the king is coming. And when they turned their backslidden state away, amen, from this world, amen, and begin to line themselves back up with God, amen, things begin to grow. The promise of hope begin to manifest itself. And the Bible says, he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt and the foal of an ass. I will cut off the chariot of Ephraim. And what God was saying, he says, I'll cut the disease out. I'll cut that tree down. Amen. That's been trying to, oh, somebody help me here today. I'm here to make a proclamation to you. Maybe could it be, amen, that your hope is not maturing yet, or the promises of God has not been fulfilled yet. Is there some disease, amen, that need to be cut away? There is some sin that you need to get rid of, even the sin of unbelief. And the Bible says that if you will turn, amen, from your wicked way, amen, I will cut away, amen, the disease, and I will cut down those things, amen, that will hinder you and hinder the growth of revival, amen. And he says that the hope did not die, and the disease or the seed did not die, amen. And that's what the prophet is saying to Israel. And he says, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto, amen, the heathen and his dominion, amen, shall be from sea and even to the sea, from the river even to the ends of the earth. And Isaiah, amen, said again, who's going to believe this report? And John said this, he that believeth on me, amen, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is a prophetic word that came from Jesus, speaking of the things in Zechariah, amen, that he is saying that I will, amen, destroy those things, amen, that is trying to stop, amen, the seed of hope. And Jesus said, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. So the third thing, the fourth thing I want to speak to you about, amen, is that we need to nurture the seed with the power of the Holy Ghost. We need to tap into the power of God. Amen. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost. In fact, it is required, amen, because that is the rain, amen, that's going to allow that seed to grow. Amen. If we don't have amen, an introduction and a flow of the Holy Ghost in our lives, and if we're stagnant, amen, that seed is not going to grow. That's why every time we come to church, we need to lift up holy hands, amen, and worship him, amen, to walk and step into the Spirit of God. It's not a small thing when God visits his people. Why? Because every time you're gathered together, amen, the Spirit the Lord says, I will be with you. So the Holy Ghost awakens the seed. The Spirit begins to move in dry places and things begin to bloom. Amen. And the fourth thing I want to mention to you here today, as we talked about the seed, but the main thing is this. is that the harvest is greater than the seed. So when you plant that seed of hope, you're not just planting it for yourself. When you begin to pray, you're not just praying for yourself. When you begin to worship God, and when you begin to tap into the Spirit of God, it's not just for yourself, but it's for the harvest. Because as you know, when your neighbor is worshiping God and tapping into the power of the Spirit of God is moving all over them, something begins to spill out next to your neighbor. Something begins to change in the atmosphere in your home. That's why it's so important to moms and dads, brothers and sisters, is that we would worship not just in church, that we not just speak in tongues, amen, in church, but we will find that place in the altar of your home and in your vehicles or at work where you find that little corner to where you can talk to God and you can tap into the Spirit of God. Because what is happening when the power of God comes down from heaven and begins to pour out upon you and that seed begins to grow, it's harvest time. Because all of a sudden hope begins to spring up. That what was dead, amen, becomes alive. That will come on somebody when your spirit, amen, is dry and thirsty. But when you tap into the power of God and when you feel the presence of God, something comes alive. Something begins to happen. Amen. All of a sudden you can feel the atmosphere begin to change in your own home. There's many, many times where I felt hopeless and lost. But the only thing that I could learn to do is to worship Him. I didn't come pray. I didn't have enough strength to pray. I didn't make sense how to pray at that time. But all I could do was to put on a little music and get in a little corner of my room somewhere and begin to lift up my voice and begin to praise Him. And something that was dead comes alive again. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God. It's harvest time. And all of a sudden, that seed begins to spring up. That hope comes alive again. And something, amen, begins to manifest itself. Why? Because it's the seed and you begin to water it with the Holy Ghost. And it's harvest time. Oh, hallelujah. And so God is not just wanting us to understand that there's a seed that is powerful. But the reason why that is powerful and nothing can kill it is because of the harvest. And our world needs hope today. Let us stand, if you will. The book of John tells us this, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. And sometimes, your seed have to go through a little difficulty. Sometimes, it feels like nothing's happening. A little discouragement comes our way. A little setback comes to us. A little disturbance in our little happy place. All of a sudden, it's not so happy anymore. But I'm here to tell you that it does not abide alone. Because the Bible says, let me go back to Galatians chapter 8. chapter 9. And it tells us not to be weary. It tells us not to be tired, discouraged. Because in due season, there's going to be a harvest. And so therefore, the harvest is greater than the seed. You may look at your situation today, and nothing makes sense. But a little faith, and you'll say, God, I am going to believe. You see, that small whisper prayer of tears running down your face, taking that step when you feel weak, it's not wasted. It's the beginning of something mighty, something powerful, something very, very important. It's called the harvest. So when you plant that seed of hope, you're not just planting it for yourself, but you're planting it for your children, for the church, and for your generation. You see, the other side is called multiplication, because you're going to reap in joy if you sow. So if you plant that seed of hope and prayer, don't stop watering it with faith. Don't stop watering it to amen and quit to amen worshiping God. But continue, amen, to strive forward. Why? Because the harvest is greater, amen, than the seed. Amen. I'm here to tell you, the seed is growing, hope is rising, but most important, what I want to tell you today is the harvest is coming. Let's lift up our hands right now and worship Him. Let's magnify Him. Let's love Him right now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. It's going to impact the next generation. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So those that has lost hope in this room, I'm here to tell you, oh, don't give up right now, because it's starting to come forth. The ground is starting to break up. Amen. The seed is starting to come out of the ground. Amen. God is caught your tears. Amen. He's heard your cry. He knows your sorrow. And what it's all about, amen, is the harvest. And it's about to break loose right now. Amen. Don't give up on the promises of God. Don't give up on your miracle. Don't give up on your healing. Amen. Don't give up, amen, on your backslidden children. Amen. Don't give up, amen, on your future. Amen. On your calling of God. Hallelujah. Oh, plant it right now and let it grow. Let it grow in faith. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. God, I pray right now, God, by the power of your Spirit and your Word, that you would encourage everyone in this room. God, that you would take those that have been discouraged and those that has felt that you have forgotten them. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, I'll come up against that spirit. God, that you would revive, God, their hope. God, revive, oh God, right now. Oh, hallelujah. Those that has lost their focus, oh God, on the promise. I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, open their eyes. God, those, oh God, that has closed their ears to the voice of the prophetic, I pray right now, open their ear that they would hear right now, Jesus. Hallelujah. Those has God been discouraged, God, through, amen, events that appears be going the opposite direction. God, in things that don't seem to be going forward. Lord, with their backslidden children or with their spouse. Amen. Things are getting worse. I come up against that right now. God, let faith, amen, water this seed of hope. God, I pray right now to intervene in the spirit. God, I pray in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Don't let your hope die. Amen. Don't let, hallelujah, it die right now. Amen. It's around the corner. Harvest time is here. Amen. The seed has already been planted. It has already been watered. Now it's harvest time. Amen. You need to get out, amen, of that attitude. Amen. That it's not going to work. I'm here to tell you, amen, it's harvest time. Amen. It's about to happen right now. Revival is here. Your healing is here. Amen. Your backslidden children are coming back.
Praise the Lord. Amen. And everyone said amen. God bless you. Amen. In Jesus' name, greet one another.